We're live and we're local. This is a Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, July 18th. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, we'll get details on the film Andy Irons Kissed by God and how you can see it here in Juno. We'll also hear about the upcoming event Juno Meditates with Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. Theater in the Rough is extending its run of 12th Night. Tune in here around 3:30 to find out more about that. And get excited about the Disability Pride Celebration this weekend. Those interviews coming up, National Native News, Bird Note Music, and more next here on a Juno Afternoon. But first, a quick look at the weather. There is a flood watch in effect starting tomorrow, Thursday afternoon through Friday afternoon. Suicide Basin is draining into Mendenhall Lake. Otherwise, scattered rain showers, lows around 50. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick in for Antonia Gonzalez. Officials with the Navajo Nation and the Hopi tribe announced they're in talks with a potential new owner for the Navajo Generating Station. The coal-fired power plant near Page, Arizona, is slated to close at the end of 2019. That would also mean the closure of the Kayenta mine, which supplies coal to the plant. But Navajo President Russell Begay said his tribe is in negotiations with Avenue Capital, based in New York, to become the new owner. Officials are also talking to Middle River Power to be the new operator. Middle River is a subsidiary of Avenue Capital and owns a number of other power plants. Environmentalists have opposed the continued operation of the plant. Navajo and Hopi leaders said they want to protect hundreds of jobs and the revenue that comes from the plant, which funds services to the Navajo and Hopi people. The owners plan to close the plant because they can get power more cheaply from facilities that use natural gas. In a separate move, a business entity owned by the Navajo Nation has purchased a stake in the Four Corners power plant near Fruitland, New Mexico. The Navajo Transitional Energy Company, or NTEC, acquired a 7% ownership stake in two units of the plant from an affiliate of Arizona Public Service Company, which operates the Four Corners facility. This is the first time a Navajo Nation enterprise has had ownership in a coal-fired power plant. NTEC also owns the Navajo mine south of Fruitland. Navajo Nation Speaker Lorenzo Bates told the Farmington Daily Times the tribe is now a player in all facets of the coal industry. Lori Goodman, a member of Dene Citizens Against Ruining Our Environment, called the sale a horrible deal for the Navajo Nation. A bipartisan group of indigenous state lawmakers is adding their condemnation of President Trump's continued use of the name Pocahontas as an insult against a member of Congress. The group published a letter saying it hurts the already wounded image of Native American women. The Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie reports.
Earlier this month, President Trump again tried to belittle Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren by calling her Pocahontas. For Susan Weber, it was like Trump was using a curse word.
I was very offended. I even had to turn off that TV.
Weber is a Montana Democratic lawmaker and a member of the Blackfeet tribe. She helped co-write the letter and says the name Pocahontas is used by some as a stereotype for sexualizing Native women.
Indian women are seen as the Pocahontas, you know, the Indian princess saving the white man.
Native women face some of the highest sexual violence and assault rates in the nation. And in the vast majority of those cases, the perpetrators are non-Native. Weber says Trump's use of the name Pocahontas is on par with another racial slur.
He could be using squaw, this harlot.
Weber was one of 10 lawmakers representing indigenous communities in Montana who signed their name on the letter. For National Native News, I'm Nate Hedgie.
In California, the district attorney for Yolo County is suing several companies because he claims they bulldozed Native American remains. The four firms are building a large residential project in the Sacramento area, and District Attorney Jeff Reisig said in a release they had known for years the site possibly held the remains of Native Americans. The suit claims that when a subcontractor found human remains in 2015, the defendants told the subcontractor to hide them and to not contact police. Archaeologists who later surveyed the site found numerous remains across a widespread area. The lawsuit seeks civil penalties and a court order for the remains to be properly buried. D.A. Reisig said in a release, quote, "The flagrant disregard of the sanctity of the burial site is indefensible and deeply offensive." For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by AARP. What we do might surprise you, like sponsoring American Indian Days in Browning, Montana, July 12th through the 18th. Information at aarp.org. Support by Humboldt State University. We know what it means to be rooted in community. You can get your master's degree and amplify your voice without leaving your community. Online program applications accepted from August 1st to 31st at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon, and I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My first guests are here to talk about a film screening at the Goldtown Nickelodeon and much more that goes along with it. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a full house in here today. You're each representing different organizations. Could you please introduce yourselves and tell us about who you're with, what you do for them? And we'll start with you, Terry.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Shelley. My name is Terry Tibbett. I'm the advocacy coordinator for the Alaska Mental Health Board and the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. And our boards are one of the sponsors of the film Andy Irons Kissed by God.
And how about you, Amy?
Hi, I'm Amy Simons-Taylor. I'm the executive director of Juno Youth Services.
And welcome to Juno. I understand you. You recently moved here.
I moved here in February.
All right. Well, good summer so far?
Absolutely.
Terrific. And Mark Landvik.
Yep. So I'm a professional snowboarder for the last 20 years. And Terry asked me to be present at the premiere, I guess, on Thursday. But I'm going to be out of town. So I did a screening yesterday. And I'm here to just maybe talk about some of the crossovers in the industries.
Terrific. You're all here. You've all come together to sponsor the screening of the film Andy Irons, Kissed by God. Andy Irons was a 3-time world surfing champion who experienced bipolar disorder and opioid addiction. So tell me, before we talk about the film, how did this collaboration come about?
This is Terry. And we got wind that the film was happening. And I just thought, I'm a snowboarder and I'm definitely grew up surfing, you know, around the water, and just had I have an affinity for the sport. And so when I saw that the film was happening, I thought, oh, great, I want to see it. And then when I saw that it dealt a lot with bipolar disorder and addiction, I thought, oh, well, then that's perfect for my role as the advocacy coordinator for our boards. And I thought, well, maybe we can help promote it and sponsor it. And my boss was, oh, yep, let's do it. So that's how I got involved.
And how did you get Amy and Mark involved?
Well, I contacted JAMI Health and Wellness, and I contacted Juno Youth Services and NAMI Alaska, which is National Alliance for Mental Illness, kind of all the players in town, not all the players, but some of the players in town that provide services for mental illness and substance use disorders, and asked them if they wanted to be part of it. And they were, yep, let's do this. And Mark, I ran into him recently. He's not living in Juno right now, but he happens to be here. So I just asked him if he wanted to be part of it, and he was all about it. So, yeah.
What's important about this movie to all of you?
Do you want
to? Oh, go ahead.
I like the opportunity to sponsor such a movie simply because I think a lot of young people don't recognize what's happening. They don't, when it's hard to talk about normal from a perspective, one, of being an adolescent, so by definition, you're changing. A lot of parents, I think, don't really always understand what is extreme behavior as opposed to normal adolescent behavior. To start to put out there that his behavior was extreme, I also really, in watching the movie, I don't want to, you know, talk too much about the movie itself and give it away, but I like the aspect of just that this was an extreme sport that he was involved in. There didn't seem to be a recognition that maybe it was too much. And how do you decide? How does a parent decide? And much less, how do kids or kids who are around other kids start to discern that's too much? You need some help. And then, of course, there is that aspect about what help and where? Who takes care of this? So to sponsor that and start to, again, put out there more of a dialogue about, here's how you can get some help, here's what the help looks like, and really how to recognize there's a problem.
Mark, how did you feel about the film?
It was an awesome portrayal of, I think, the experience that Andy went through and his entire kind of pack of friends and family. And so I've been filming snowboarding for the last 20 years, and in 2015, I was diagnosed with bipolar. So, you know, this has a special place in my heart for sure. And I agree, especially with the kids, you know, and more even parents and teachers and faculty not understanding maybe consequences of a lot of these prescription drugs and the fact that most of these kids don't need them. Mm. And, you know, the effects are pretty detrimental.
And could you relate to some of what Amy was saying about the pressures and of competition, the extremities of the sport itself?
Yeah, not as much to the competition side. I've done backcountry free riding, so I focused on filming. But yeah, of course, the pressures. The last film we did was the biggest action sports film of all time. And in the middle of that, I had kind of a breakdown. And so, yeah, I kind of got lost there, I guess.
Do you think this film will help people who are struggling with mental illness and addiction?
Yeah, I think for sure, especially for younger kids. The action sports, surfing, skateboarding, and snowboarding are pretty young, you know, 20, 30 years for the most part, as industries. And so a lot of kids look up to these people right now. So we're seeing a lot more increase in, you know, people in all aspects, and increases in kids. Like the last 5 years, I think 3% increase in mental illness in children, like 14 to 17. That's kind of scary.
How do you two think this film will impact the audiences that see it?
Well, I think for me, what I think it's what it'll do is it'll help people realize that that people who have extreme creative ability, extreme success, can really experience extreme lows. As high as you get in a competition or as in a creative venue, you can get just as low. You know, the spectrum goes way high, way low. And so I think a lot of the film points out that I don't think Andy and his family and his friends really knew what was going on around. They just saw kind of this creative genius and thought, oh, it's all part of the landscape. But I think in the end, in reflecting in the interviews, you can see they look back and they're like, oh, wow, he was really struggling. Wish we could have done something. And so I think that's maybe where it'll impact the audience is maybe someone will have a family member or a friend that they can say, oh, yeah, my friend's doing that. I wonder what I should do to help that person rather than to see them spiral down.
Yeah, and anybody I've shared my story with has been able to relate to some kind of friend or family member. And they've, you know, some of them asked me, do you think that's what happened to this person? You know, and I can't really say yes or no, but I think a lot of people, if they knew what some of these diseases were truly about, and they would understand it and see a lot more people in society with these, especially creative people like Terry was saying.
So we all know that the nation is in the midst of an opioid crisis, and also that, you know, mental illness doesn't quite, there's never enough resources, it seems like, to go around. So what's the status of those things in Juneau?
We went to, I think Terry was there as well, and I want to say it was back in March or April, a planning, like a community planning event to start to address. I don't even think it was starting to address. It was a start for me because I was new to Juneau. More of a very organized response to opioid addiction, but in addition to that, a coordinated response towards youth to avoid a second generation of opioid addiction. They make a very strong point in the movie that we have lost already more people to opioid addiction than we ever did to HIV/AIDS. That one I didn't know. When I heard that last night, I was really, really surprised.
I didn't know that
yeah.
either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they make that point. And I may have misquoted it, but I'll see the movie again. But I was really taken with that. But Juneau is really looking not just at the current services for adults with opioid addiction, but starting a coordinated effort about how do we avoid a second generation of that. I can't tell you the status of it right now. That meeting was not that long ago. And my recollection of that was that, you know, the people that we collaborated with on the state level are working on their plan.
Yeah. And I would say that not only is there a statewide planning and a local planning effort going on for opioid addiction, there's also existing resources like JAMI Health and Wellness provides mental health treatment and also addiction treatment. Anyone can go in and get an assessment and see what level you need. Some people really seriously need some residential and they need to go away for a while and really get deep and, you know, kind of into a deeper residential type of treatment. Some people need outpatient treatment, either an intensive or a casual, but that's what an assessment will do. It'll help you understand what you need. Juneau Youth Services, they provide some levels of treatment.
We have a chemical dependency program.
Mm-hmm. And Rainforest Recovery at the hospital, they provide treatment. You can also go to them and get an assessment. And also Bartlett Regional Hospital, if you're having mental health crisis, you can go to the ER and they can admit you to the mental health unit upstairs. And what they help do is just help people stabilize. So mm-hmm. I think people knowing 911 is a good number to call if you're in crisis, and then they'll direct you to the right place. And if you know someone in crisis, if they're harmed to themselves or to other people, then you definitely want to, you know, see that that person gets help immediately. And there's been long waiting lists for treatment, and that's getting addressed little by little here in Juneau.
I do understand that some more resources and funding have been redirected to help Alaska respond to the crisis. So I know that it is still in progress, mm-hmm. but it sounds like the state is responding and people are recognizing the need to get some more resources out there and also better resources.
And I just want to say I do like random research on all kinds of stuff, but 70% of these kids that you see with these problems get no help or no attention or don't even, you know, definitely don't get the right diagnosis. And there's tons of state programs in all states that do a lot of things, but I think we just need more, especially community awareness.
Yep, mm-hmm. Agreed. And just to close on that note is that the community awareness is what one of the reasons that we wanted to bring this film is to really raise a community awareness about addiction and bipolar disorder. So anyway,
to help friends and family, and neighbors and people, individuals themselves recognize what might be happening to them
exactly. And
when they need to ask for help. Yep. Andy Irons, Kissed by God, will be at the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater. Who can tell me the dates and times of the screenings?
It's tomorrow, which is Thursday at 7 p.m. That's the first showing. And then the second showing is Friday at 9 p.m. So it's this week, Thursday and Friday. Thursday show 7 p.m., Friday show 9 p.m. at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. Thank you for that.
Yes. Anything else any of you would like to add?
No.
No.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Thank you all for doing what you do.
There's a world where I gets to in my room. In my room, in my room. In this world I lock out all my worries and my fears. In my room, in my room.
Fisheries asks you to help prevent sea lion entanglements. Please remember to lose the loop. Prevent nuisance by cutting any loops before discarding in the trash. Stash the trash. Keep plastic trash out of the ocean. Keep the sea entanglement free to prevent injury and death to marine wildlife. To report an entangled marine mammal, call the Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Network at 1-877-925-7773. This message brought to you by NOAA Fisheries.
It is about 22 minutes after the hour. I'm Shelley Delaney. My next guests are here from the Art of Living Foundation. Welcome to the show, Arwind and Sharmila. Welcome to Juneau. How's your visit been so far?
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been incredible visiting Juneau, coming from Washington, D.C. It's a complete change of experience, actually.
I know.
Happy to be here.
Alaska, it can seem like a different planet compared to the rest of the United States. So you're both here to talk about a big event coming to Juneau. It's called Juneau Meditates. It will take place July 31st, Juneau Douglas High School. But before we talk about that, could you please tell us about the Art of Living Foundation? What is it and what do you do there?
Art of Living Foundation is a nonprofit which teaches meditation, yoga, pranayama, which is based in yoga. It has been founded by Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. He's a global humanitarian and a spiritual leader. We both are associated with the foundations as facilitators, faculty. We have been teaching yoga in a lot of countries. In fact, my colleague Sharmila has been traveling outside of U.S. Across Europe and teaching these programs. I am from India and I have been teaching these programs to a lot of people from different sections of the society. Yeah.
And how about you, Sharmila?
Yeah, so as Arvind was saying, that I have been associated with Art of Living for from 2002. I lost the count of the years, how many now. I have been teaching this program for last 10 years because it's personally benefited me the way the breathing and the meditation. And I just wanted to give back to the community because we are all volunteers. And recently, I had an opportunity to go to Lebanon and teach these programs to South Lebanon, where there are a lot of political and in the war, and the way their minds are like very torn apart. And then just having that peace just through the breath, it's a big thing for them. And then for me, this is what I feel that the right thing for me to do. Yeah.
Sri Sri Ravi Shankar will be coming to Juneau in person to give a talk and lead some meditation sessions. Mm-hmm. I imagine you've both heard him speak many times. And have you also meditated with him before?
Yes.
What is it like?
There are certain things which cannot be experienced experienced by the five senses. Meditation is one such thing. when you transcend the mind or when you stretch the mind, it becomes meditation. So it's a very unique experience. Like if you want to learn cooking, do you want to go to any normal person or you want to go to an expert, right? And anything we do, we want to go with an expert, like a master chef or a master driver. Same way, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar is a master meditator. So definitely, the experience is incredible, and it cannot be put in words, the experience when you have it with an experienced meditator. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I just wanted to just add on to that. For me, when I started meditating, and especially in 2003, I met Sri Sri and then I meditated with him. Personally, I was going through a lot, my family members, and then there are a lot of things happening in my family which I didn't have any answers to. And when I started, I went to Canada, Montreal, to be with Sri Sri and then meditated with him. I really felt that in deep within, I had all the answers, but just that depth that I felt and got my answers when I was meditating with him. And that was a big thing for me.
It sort of unlocked something inside you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Sri Sri visits many cities to hold these sessions. Let me go back. His appearance is the 31st, and you're spending some time here in Juneau working with some of our businesses, local businesses, and community organizations to do sort of like health and wellness presentations with employees. Could you say more about that, please?
Yeah, so yesterday we had a session with Aware. It's a nonprofit, and then we had a session with all the ladies, wonderful ladies, and then we did a session called Let's Talk Happiness, and just kind of guided them through breathing technique and meditation and giving them a concrete techniques for them to start applying and then really releasing the trauma or all the things that they are experiencing and then having that peace within. And then becoming strong so that they can go and then in that strength given say that, I'm strong, how can I help you? And it was really nice. I was very grateful to meet everybody and then have that program. We also have a program with Fred Myers and Anthony. He's the director there, and he really graciously wanted to get some give back to his employees. So we'll have a session with all the wellness session with employees, and we'll guide them through meditation and some of the breathing techniques that we teach. Yeah.
And so before he comes to Juneau, Sri Sri will have been visiting some other cities first. Mm-hmm. Any idea what the turnout is like in other places, and what do you expect the turnout to be here in Juneau?
Yeah, he's in fact coming on the 20th, just day after tomorrow, to California. And we already have about 6,000 people already signed up for doing various programs with him. Wow. And in Seattle, he will be there on the 29th, 28th and 29th. And then 3,000 people have been there already registered to come to this event. So in Juneau, we are having 1,000 people coming. And then we really want the whole Juneau community to come together and meditate and experience that deep something within them. Is going to be a very good event, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting. Do either of you ever lead meditation sessions yourself?
Yes.
Would you like to give us a little preview of what we can expect?
Yes.
Okay, great. So before we transition into that, I just wanted to recap. Juneau Meditates is July 31st at Juneau Douglas High School, 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the auditorium. And is there anything else that either of you two want to add before we...
So Alaska Meditates with Sri Sri is selling out fast. And I think the Arts Council, the Jack, and the Hatred Bookstore are really doing an incredible job in putting the word out. And, of course, the K2 Radio, the mayor, in fact, has announced a proclamation in his honor and will be handing over a trophy to him. I think the certificate, a proclamation certificate to him in person when he visits here. Sea Alaska Heritage has special plans to welcome him in a traditional way in the local Juneau style, and he'll be visiting the center, Sea Alaska Heritage Center, before the event starts. And many, many VIPs from Juneau are going to personally interact with him and meet with him in the Sea Alaska Heritage. I think this is a very incredible development which has happened.
And where can we get tickets?
You can get the tickets from Heartside Bookstore. You can get it online on jack.org and the Arts Council.
Okay, yes. Great. Yeah. Well, most people know how to find that sort of thing, but yeah. Just in case, it's good to go over the details. That's all very interesting. I hope that we get to interview Sri Sri himself at some point. And I know, Arwen, you'll be back to talk about this event again before it happens. So we'll get more details later on. But for now, let's all calm down a little bit. For those of you listening at home or in your desk, we'll just do this for about 2 minutes. We'll have some music. Yeah. And Sharmila is going to talk us through some techniques. Mm-hmm. And if you're driving, just keep your eyes on the road.
That's what I was going to say. Keep your eyes open.
All right. I'm going to start the music. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to start the music. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties.
That's fine. I can lead it
without
the music.
Go ahead and get started, and I can get the music on the computer.
So Shelly was saying that if you are driving, that make sure that your eyes are open on the road, but you can just listen and then just take a few deep breaths in and out. And if you're at home, then definitely just find a proper place and then just relax in your seat and eyes close. And then just let's become aware of our breath. The breath is going in and out through your nostril. You can breathe in and breathe out. Again, one more. Breathe in and breathe out. And notice the temperature of your breath. It may be cool, warm. It may be faster. Your breath might be faster or slow. Just a gentle awareness to your breath. Let's do a couple of more breaths. And then now, we are going to make our breath a little deeper. So take a deep breath in and notice your chest and diaphragm expanding as you breathe in, and breathe out and empty your lungs completely. Again, one more time, deep breath in and relax as you breathe out. One more time, deep breath in, expand your chest, your diaphragm, and fill in the air like a balloon, and hold the breath, hold. And now relax and completely empty your lungs as you breathe out. One more deep breath in. Hold the breath. And relax as you breathe out. Let's do this a couple of times on our own. Breathing in completely. Holding the breath. And release and empty your lungs completely. One last time. Breathe in. Hold. And breathe out. Come back to the normal breath. And gently, if your eyes are closed, you can open your eyes. And just notice how your mind is completely stable. The mind doesn't have those many thoughts. You know, we just had just a simple technique to relax ourselves. You know, you can start using these techniques when you are really having some tough situation, you have to go for a presentation or talk to somebody, or even having some too many negative thoughts coming in. Use this breath to really calm yourself down. So then, instead of reacting to a situation, you'll start responding. And then that's when the outcome will be better. So thanks for having us here and then leading this. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Sharmila. It kept me calm during my small technical difficulties here. That was very good timing. And I've even had doctors tell me the benefits of just taking deep breaths, expanding your diaphragm, and just the value of that in and of itself. So thank you, Arwen and Sharmila, for being here today. You'll be back again soon, and enjoy your time in Juneau. And
thank you.
Thanks for reaching out to us today.
So everybody who is listening, come in and join us on July 31st.
Yes, for an expert version of that.
Expert version of that, yeah.
Not that you're not an expert, yeah. Sharmila. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Is Bird Note. The morning dove was named for the male's gentle voice. The dove's mellow cooing to us may sound forlorn. But seeing a morning dove evokes anything but sadness. An elegant, slender bird about the size of a robin. The dove is dressed in deerskin brown, dappled on the wings with a few black beauty marks. The male's breast shimmers with iridescent pink, a fine complement to its bright pink feet, hardly a doleful image. And as the morning dove walks across the lawn, we see that his long tail tapers to a fine point, a jaunty avian swordsman trailing his blade. Found in open habitats, along the forest edge and in suburbs, these handsome doves are a familiar sight and sound throughout much of North America. On a warm, lazy summer afternoon, the morning dove's voice seems to speak more of serenity than sadness, and of a familiar, peaceful connection to nature. Listeners support Bird Note. If you're one of them, thank you. You make these shows possible.
It's about 21 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm Shelley Delaney. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. My next guests are Peter Freer and Natalia Spangler from Theater in the Rough. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having us.
You're both actors in the company, Theater in the Rough, and you've got some good news for us today. What is it?
Twelfth Night, our performance, has been extended. We have three more shows, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, all at 7:30.
That is great. So it was so popular, your first run, which was just last week?
We had two weeks.
Two weeks. Yeah. And pretty good turnout, I guess.
Oh, we've had outstanding audiences. It's just been awesome, really. Full houses, very enthusiastic audiences. And as Natalia said, we're sold out online and at the advanced ticket sale locations. So there are a small number of tickets held aside for purchasing at the door, but get there early.
Okay. And do you need cash or can we use a credit card?
Or what's preferable? Cash or check.
Cash or check.
Okay, great. Well, I'm probably one of the last people in town who hasn't seen it, I do confess. What's Twelfth Night about without too many spoilers? Why should I come and watch it?
Well, you should come and watch it because it's a very, very funny show. The nut of the plot or the story is a love triangle involving mistaken identities. There's a young woman is shipwrecked. She dresses as a man, goes to work for a count who is in love with another person and enlists Viola, dressed as Cesario, to be his suitor to Olivia, and hence forms a love triangle based on mistaken identities. And then there's lots of just wonderful characters in this show, that Malvolio and Sir Toby Belch and Sir Andrew Eguecheek, and just some wonderful characters who add humor and depth to the show.
Twelfth Night is a Shakespeare play, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And it is how old again?
It was written in 1601, 1602, so 400 years or
400
so.
400 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some things just haven't changed in 400 years, especially regarding love and humor.
Oh, no.
Which is what I think I love about whenever there's a Shakespeare performance. That's the whole, like, takeaway, right? It's like, man, these plays are old, but, you know, nothing much has changed. But it's still funny.
Yes, they hit human themes that are really universal.
Yeah.
Well, when can I see the play?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all at 7:30 at McFeeters Hall, which is the parish hall to Holy Trinity Church at 4th and Gold Street downtown. Yes, as we said earlier, the performances start at 7:30, but if you want tickets at the door, arriving about 6:45 to get your name on the list, that's probably a good call.
Yeah, as I said, we've had sold-out houses and turned people away. So to see the show, get there early to get a box office ticket.
And the performances are pay-as-you-can, which is so nice.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I imagine even though you've had a pretty good turnout, folks are making nice contributions mm-hmm. to help keep you guys going. Mm-hmm. And proceeds go to Theater on the Roof.
Correct.
For the next production. All right. So we talked about where to get tickets. We've talked about the play. Is there a good place to get more information if we just want to know more?
Yeah. If you go to theaterintherough.org, or we also have a Facebook page, Theater on the Rough, and we post updates about upcoming productions, about how to get tickets to current productions. Those are your two best bets to get information.
And Theater in the Rough, you guys primarily do Shakespeare plays. Is that right? And
yes.
You've done some other things here and there.
Yes, we do Shakespeare. We do other classical theater. Last year, we did a new work by Aaron Elmore, the artistic director, one of the artistic directors. So we kind of do a whole range of stuff.
Yeah, but the main line is Shakespeare. But in the past, there's been Cyrano de Bergerac and the Three mm-hmm. Musketeers and other sort of classic shows.
So you're both in the play, Twelfth Night.
Yes.
Correct.
Which characters are you?
I play.
We both looked at each other.
I play Viola, who's the young woman who's shipwrecked at the beginning of the play and has to, in order to find work, has to disguise herself as a young man named Cesario and find work for the Duke of the country, which is called Illyria. And she sort of gets tangled up in a bunch of situations that she is not exactly thrilled to be in the middle of.
But they all resolve by the end.
Yeah, pretty much.
And what's your part, Peter?
I play Valentine in Act One, sort of a courtier or servant to Count Orsino, and then I get to arrest people in Act Two as the officer.
No, that must be fun. And so it's interesting that the play starts, that one of the main characters plays a woman who's has to dress as a man.
Yes.
And isn't it true that most Shakespeare actors in the past were all men?
Yes. In Shakespeare's time, women were not allowed to act on stage. So he would have had a company exclusively of men. So for them in the 1600s, it would have been quite funny to see a young man dressed as a woman, dressed again as a young man. So we miss a little bit of that humor that contemporary audiences of Shakespeare would have had, but it's still pretty humorous.
It's a great comic device.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Anything? What's coming up next after Twelfth Night? Do you know yet?
Well, Aaron's talking about a show in the fall, but I think it's too formative at this point, or not formative enough, I should say, at this point to really to go into it. But there is some talk of a fall show. Probably not a Shakespeare, but that remains to be seen.
Okay. Well, for now, you're just concentrating. You're just in the moment with Twelfth Night, and you're going to finish up this really successful run. Congratulations.
Yeah, we are very thankful and very surprised by the amount of love we've gotten for this show. We're very, very happy.
It has been thrilling. There's just no question. We will unpack such a box of delights for the audience.
Oh, that sounds great. I can't wait to see it. And thank you both for coming by today.
Thank you for having us. The
next three presentations are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. At what time?
7:30 p.m.
But get there early if you don't have a ticket yet. And it's at McPheeters Hall?
Exactly.
All right.
We'd love to see you there.
I'm going to try my best to make it. Peter and Natalia, thank you so much for being here today.
Tonight on 360 North at 8, Walden, The Ballad of Thoreau, a combination documentary and theatrical play about Henry David Thoreau's final 2 days in his cabin at Walden Pond, explores the roles we play living on the earth in our communities. At 9, Legends of Air Power celebrates Vietnam War ace and commander of the U.S. Navy's Top Gun School, Randall Cunningham. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Support for KTOO comes from Pavitt Health and Fitness, locally owned and open 24/7, offering fitness classes, childcare, and summer memberships for exercising on those rainy days. More information at gopavitt.com. Pavitt Health and Fitness, for your total well-being.
I'm Shelley Delaney, and this is a Juno Afternoon. My next guests are Kim Champney and Tristan Knutson-Lombardo. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
You are both here representing Juno Disability Pride Coalition. What is that, and what do they do? Because as far as I know, they've never been on a Juno Afternoon before.
All right. You want me to dive in there?
You start, Kim.
Okay. So there's actually been a statewide movement for the last year or so, about year and a half, of really empowering people with disabilities to have more of a voice in their communities and it's actually not just been the past year. I would say it's been growing over the past 30 years probably. But the Juneau Disability Pride Day really came out of a statewide group that was looking at how do we have this vision of people with disabilities being having a greater voice in their lives and in the community and being more valued for the gifts and abilities they have, and how do we get the word out? And so we, our community awareness team, came up with this idea of having some sort of an event that pulled together across different disability groups and created just a celebratory event. No political agenda, not asking for anything, but just saying, hey, come and party with us and see how amazing all these people are that are in our communities. And so there's five different communities around Alaska that are jumping in. And it was interesting when we started talking about this, we thought, well, something else go on, you know, nationally that we could kind of tie into. And when we started doing some research, Disability Pride is a national day celebrated in July, typically with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And like New York City and Chicago have these huge street parties with thousands and thousands of people in a parade, and that's what we're kind of hoping to evolve into.
Excellent. Yeah. So the Disability Pride Celebration will be this Saturday, and it's the first annual. Who else is a part of this coalition? I know you both actually work for different for your own organizations. You work with SAIL.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
And Kim, you're with who are you with?
I'm actually an independent consultant.
Okay. So who else is a part of the Juneau Disability Pride Coalition, and who else is a part of the celebration?
Yeah. Well, we have had a small planning team. We actually kind of got going this year a little bit later than we hoped to in future years. But really great partners have been, of course, SAIL has been really an important part of it, REACH, Juneau Youth Services, and then we've had some other community volunteers that just really care about the disability movement. Well, Terry Tibbett, you heard earlier this
yes.
hour, and she talked about she works in kind of the more behavioral health or mental health side of things. So she's been promoting that film, but she's also been part of our planning committee, and she's actually the MC on our Saturday for our celebration. Matt Talley is another person who he's actually working on starting a nonprofit for people with learning disabilities. And so Luis Hernandez, Melvin Starr, Robert Frick are all community volunteers. Kate Wolf and her husband Charlie have been helping us figure out the logistics at Marine Park. Helping with other promotions. Christine Inc. is a care coordination organization that's been involved, and Kimberly Atkinson and Willow Gonzalez. There's been some other people who have really said, hey, let us know what you need. It's been very collaborative effort. One of the things about kind of the name, even Tristan and I kind of looked at each other when you said Disability Pride Coalition, because it's really been very grassroots. Mm-hmm. It's not a very formal organization.
Oh, you guys don't have like a brick and mortar.
We
and
don't.
Staff.
In fact, that's very intentional. We want it to be very much like there's no – it's not driven by a particular organization. SAIL has agreed to be the nonprofit kind of running the money for us, but really it's very grassroots. And amazingly, it's not been difficult to find support to just like, hey, let's all find a place to meet and put something together. It's been good.
Disability Pride Celebration will take place this Saturday, July 21st, 3 to 5 p.m. at Marine Park. And in conjunction with the celebration, there's a screening of a film called Keep the Change at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. What is this film about?
Yes. So this film, it came out last year, and it's kind of your classic New York City romantic comedy. But the really cool thing about it is that it features the two main characters, the main actors, are individuals that experience autism in their real life, but they're also playing and acting just like anybody with or without a disability would do in a major feature film. And it's a really great idea and a cool concept, because oftentimes we see in movies actors without disabilities will play somebody with a disability, or you have somebody with a disability and they're specifically brought in to play kind of a one-dimensional role, like because they have a disability, they need to have that character also has that same disability, and that's why they're brought in. Whereas these actors are really brought in because they're actors and they're playing multidimensional individuals. They also happen to have autism, and that of course, influences the story, but it also just it's a rom-com, so it's fun. It's kind of a classic take on the genre. So I know it's going to be like really nice weather on Saturday, which is great for the event. But afterwards, if you've got a sunburn or you're just feeling sunned out, come into the Gold Town. Check out the film. Colette's been great to work with, so thanks to them. Yeah, it should be great. And it's nice because it kind of ties into the other films that Terry was on earlier talking about. So we have this kind of film series to go with this event.
And how long is the movie?
I think it's less than 2 hours. It's like an hour and a half or hour 40. So
you can go in and watch the movie and have plenty of time left in the sun outside afterwards. That's at the Gold Town Nickelodeon, 272 Shattuck Way. It's downtown. They have all the information about the film's showings on their website, goldtownnick.com. Where's the best place to find out more about Disability Pride, your coalition, the celebration, things like that?
Well, I think, you know, again, we're real grassroots. So there's flyers around town. Sale has been, Tristan's a good point of contact because Sale's easy to find. Their number's in the book. But really, I think just coming down to Marine Park Saturday afternoon, we're going to have a great lineup of musicians. And we're really excited that we're going to kick it off with a blessing from a Native elder of the because it's the first time this kind of event has happened in this area. And so we're going to have that. And then Native dancers and then speakers. So, yeah. Free hot dogs.
I was going to mention that.
And we're on Facebook. So you can, if you Facebook, do a search for Disability Pride Alaska. There should be an option for the Juno event as well. So
yep, I found that very easily, and that was a great place for information. It works. Yeah. So again, Disability Pride Celebration this Saturday, July 21st, 3 to 5 p.m. at Marine Park. Tristan, Kim, anything else you want to add?
I would just say I'd like to thank we are offering free hot dogs, and that is because of generous donations from IGA, Fred Meyer, Safeway, and Costco. And just think it's so great how businesses in town are really supportive of these community kinds of events.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time somebody came on the show and said something like that, I mean, they everybody sponsors everything in this town. It's
absolutely
great. So, yeah, so much community support from local businesses.
Yeah.
Thank you both for being here today. Have a great time on Saturday.
Thanks. Yeah,
thank you.
We're gonna ride, 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 ride till we fall. They say we got no future at all. They wanna keep us out, can't hold us down anymore. We're gonna ride, 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 ride till we fall. When we hit the bottom, nothing gonna stop us. I'm gonna drop you.
Thanks for tuning in today to a Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we'll get our weekly update from Juno Public Libraries with Kate Inge. Solar Energy Research Engineer Roger Davenport will be here to share his knowledge with us. SEAC will tell us how we can enjoy the great weather with a beach bonfire. And we will get our weekly arts and culture activities update on Arts Up. If you'd like to be on a Juno Afternoon, go to ktoo.org and click Contact Us. Don't forget we're on our summer schedule through August with live shows Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, special programming on Mondays. Today's show will be available online at ktoo.org. This has been a Juno Afternoon. Have a great Juno evening.